How you doing, church? Amen. Good to be back in God's country. Almost heaven. Amen. I love it down here. And we just love this church, too. Every time we come here, I tell you this, but you guys are friendly, okay? You're welcoming. I actually go to a few churches. The Lord's opened up some doors where I can preach at different churches, and I must tell you that not all churches are the same. There are some that are not so lovely, as they say, or not so welcoming. And in fact, I might have told you this story one time, but the wife and I were invited to go and minister to a church, and we went there. And I mean, I walked in, and I was invited to come there, and the people there were not very welcoming. In fact, the pastor wasn't very welcoming. His wife wasn't. And I said to my wife, I said, "Do we got the right address there, you know, honey?" Because it was just unbelievable. But here, it's the total opposite. So, and I mean that sincerely. I'm not just blowing smoke your way, as they say. This is something from my heart. And it's beautiful to see that. That's the way it should be, okay? And you know what? Even if you don't feel like it, you can act like that, okay? Sometimes you just got to act like, you know, how you just have to claim that joy of the Lord. And it's beautiful things. So thank God for that. The wife couldn't be here today. She had to make a decision between family and church. And that old saying, blood is thicker than water, right? So, but she did say to tell everybody hello. And, you know, she wishes she could be here, but had a tough decision to make today, and I understand that. I hope you do too, okay? And we thank God for the privilege of ministering the words of life. I appreciate the opportunity. I don't take it lightly. I do prepare. I listen to God, and I do have a message for you. And I tell you how the Lord, I might have told you this before, but, you know, the Lord called me to preach at age 12 and a half, believe it or not. And when I was asked to do it, and the Lord called me to do it, I didn't know what I was doing, and I'm preaching to people that have been in saved for 20, 30 years, and what's a 12 and a half year old going to say to those people? And I was very concerned, and the pastor at that time says, "I want you to go to prayer, I want you to seek God, and listen, and whatever He tells you, you tell us." I'm like, okay. That's how it started. That's what He did. He gave me a great message, and I just regurgitated what the Lord gave me. And it's no different all these many years later, 30-some years later. It's the same thing. So what I share with you today, God gave me for you, for this church, okay? And for me, too. I always go to the woodshed first. And I say that because I want to lift you up, encourage you today, edify you, okay? But I also want to challenge you in the Lord. And I think sometimes we, you know, we like to hear the good parts, but we also need to be, you know, get our attention once in a while. And boy, the Lord really did on this one to me. How many of you have been serving the Lord for, you can raise your hands if you'd like, but for, let's say, 5 years or less in the church here? 10 years or less? How many's been serving the Lord 10 years or less? How about 15 years or less? How many of you have been serving the Lord at least 15 years in this church? That's what I'm asking. I don't think you understood it. So how many have been serving the Lord at least 20 years in the church? How about 30? We'll go up that high. How about 40? All right, we're going to go high now. 50? Oh, my. Should I go to 60? Well, well. Can I even go to 70? Okay. We'll stop there. That's a beautiful thing right there. Some of you have been in this thing a long time. Some of you not so long. But you know what I want to talk to you about today? The Lord put on my heart is what does it mean to serve the Lord? Okay? How many of you are actively serving the Lord? Now, you know what it is in the church world, what we say is, how's Brother Joe doing? And someone will say something like, well, he's serving the Lord over at that church. He's been going to church over there for, you know, 5 years now, serving the Lord. So what they're equating is because Joe goes to 5 years to this church, he's serving the Lord. And again, what that's wonderful, don't get me wrong, we're not knocking that. That's a wonderful thing. If you go to church, you should go to church, right? But are you really serving the Lord? Is that what it means to serve the Lord, to go to church, you know? So I hope you see where we're going with this. But, you know, what it comes down to is this. In Joshua 24 and 15, it's a choice to serve the Lord first of all. So in Joshua 24, 15, you all know this verse. It's a very popular verse, very famous. It's in the Bible for a reason, and we need to see that. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites who whosoever land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We ask you to bless and minister as only you can do. We need your help today. The Holy Spirit's the best teacher, and we look forward to what you have for us, for we ask it in Christ's name, and everyone says together, amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, everybody's got to make a choice, and this thing is, it really comes down to choosing, do I want to serve God, and what does that mean? But everybody has to make that choice. I think it was Bob Dylan that wrote the song many years ago, you got to serve somebody. How many of you know that we all serve somebody, whether it's God or whether it's the enemy? How many of you know it's not that complicated? You're either on God's side or you're on the enemy's side. And every time I go to this mission up north that I've told you all about before, I ask the men there, these are homeless men, these are people on drugs and so forth. I say, how many of you want to serve the devil? And I've yet to have all these years, over 30 years, I've never had a man raise his hand and say, yeah, I want to serve the devil. But how many of you know if you're not serving God, you are serving the enemy. Whether you recognize it or not, he's got you under his spell, as they say. Or the Bible says it this way, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ should shine unto them. So we have to choose, okay? Jesus, you know, he said it this way, no man can serve two masters, for either he will love the one, hate the other, hold to the one, despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. And yet there's a lot of people that want their cake and eat it too, okay? And I am here to tell you by the authority of God that that is not what God had in mind for being a servant of God Almighty. But I like this. Joshua, he made it absolutely 100% crystal clear that I don't know what you all are going to do, whether you're going to serve the gods over there or do this or do that. He goes, but I'm going to tell you something. Be in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? And I want to talk to all the men in the house tonight. If you're a man of the house in any way, shape, or form, all right, you, by God's authority, are to be the priest of that home. You are to guide that home. You are to be the spiritual leader of that home. And one of the saddest things I've ever seen is when you have a man, whether he's saved or unsaved, in a home that he's the head of the home and he's not leading that home. A lot of times in those cases, what happens is either nobody leads or sometimes the wife, the spouse will take the lead. When he as a man should be stepping up just like Joshua and saying, I tell you right now, this house, because God put me in charge, we are going to serve the Lord in this house. Now, I was bold enough to get the little brass plaque and put it right on my door. So if you ever visit my home up north, you will come to my door and you'll see a brass plaque that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I got to live up to that. It's easy to put that little brass tack up there. I can show you my church membership if you'd like, but really, I'm telling the world that this house right here is going to serve the Lord. And I'm challenging you, men. You know, how's your spiritual life in your home? How's things going in that direction? How are the kids doing, the family? Are you taking charge and leading them in the ways of the Lord? If not, you know what you need to do. And I'm asking you to step up and just take that role because I believe it's Bible to do that. All through the scripture, we're told to serve the Lord, okay? Serve the Lord with gladness, one place says. Another says, don't even be lazy. Work hard and serve the Lord. So we know as Christians, we are to serve the Lord. And Jesus Christ is our example. You know, he didn't come down here with a white glove affair and just went around doing all the showy things and didn't get himself dirty and all that. In fact, the Bible says, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve other people. And how many of you have learned when you serve other people, you're serving God? Okay, so that's where the rubber meets the road. We have to get out and get a little dirty. And you might have heard me say this before. If you're a shepherd of the flock, if we have elders here, if we have our lead pastor, a shepherd in the natural should smell like sheep. And what I mean by that is they're so busy with the flock when they get hurt, when they're down in the ditch, they're right down there with them, pulling them out. They're getting dirty. They're getting smelly. They might even go into town and people have to hold their nose because they smell like those dirty sheep because they're right there with them as the shepherd. And what it means is if you've got a pastor, all right, or a leadership in this church, they should smell like the congregation because they're spending so much time with them. In other words, they're not just telling you, if you need me, call me, and they run home, okay? And again, I'm not being critical to anybody that might be like that. But let me tell you, you need to make yourself available to the people. That is serving God. And that goes for us, too, that aren't pastors. We are to bear one another's burdens. We are to be there for each other. We are to encourage one another. Don't just whisper, man, do you know what's going on in Joe's house? We need to go and lift Joe up and encourage him, bear his burdens, and serve the Lord doing that. So you might be a member of a church, but what are you doing in that church? Okay, that's what I say. Just being sitting in a pew, you know, taking up space on a pew is not serving God. We need to do this every day of our lives. The Apostle Paul, many times he called himself and his fellow believers this. He called him servants. And if you study that, it means that they were saying they were slaves. I want you to just think about that. How many of you want to consider yourself a slave? Nobody does. We don't want to consider ourselves that because we think of slavery like, you know, we usually do. Jude, who was Jesus' half-brother, he referred to himself as the servant of Christ. And my friends, it means a slave. So I said, okay, well, let's look at that. What does a slave do? What's the definition of a slave? Here's the most simple, basic definition. A slave is a person who is owned by another and they obey that person. If you put that together with Jesus Christ, man, we are owned by him because the Bible says we're bought with a price, right? And we are no longer our own. We are to serve and obey him as servants. All right? But we don't think of ourselves that way. We look at what can he do for me when, instead of us saying, I totally surrender unto you. What can I do for you? Christians are slaves willingly. Now, you all know our history, right? There was times in this country where we had slave owners. And by the way, you know, we always lift up certain people in our past. But did you know many of our founding fathers were slave owners? I mean, they'd be sitting in pew just like you, but they'd have slaves at home being abused and, you know, all these things. In fact, people would go all the way over to Africa in these ships and take big nets and traps, and they would get these slaves by trapping them like animals, putting them on ships and taking them back here. And all of it was done while people sat in the pews. And it was, what I'm saying is that was forced slavery. Some of those women were even raped and so forth. That was forced slavery. But now today as Christians, we say we are to be slaves to Christ, but it's willingly. Nobody, you know, everything I ever changed in my life, good for the Lord. It wasn't because my pastor said I had to do it. It was because God spoke to my heart and he saved me. And that's why I changed. I wanted to willingly submit my will to him. And that's why I quit drinking. That's why I quit whoring around. That's why I quit being an evil person, a self-centered person. It wasn't because someone told me. It was because I was now a slave to Jesus Christ. And when you get to that point, God can begin to work in your life. He really can, okay? So here's a reason that you would be a willing slave. How many of you have experienced the grace of God? How many of you were not so lovely at one time in your life, okay? Or is it just me? How many of you were not perfect, right? How many of you had burned bridges? And how many of you were just not a good person? Well, God had grace and mercy when others wouldn't. That's enough reason right there for you to say, I surrender all and I will be your slave, Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and my life and I want to do what's right, okay? So Jesus is our example this way. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine be done. So he was surrendering his will to the Father's will. And if you want to be a servant and I want to be a servant, you can start right there. Surrender your will, your desire, what you want to do. You might have the greatest plan in life all laid out for you and your family, but it's not God's plan. It's just something you want to do. That's not being submissive. That's not listening to God. That's not being a slave unto the Lord who is our master. So I'm going to encourage all of us to start thinking like these things, okay? Because, you know, if we... Basically, what happens is we quit serving one and we start serving the other. How many of you know when you were lost, you were serving the enemy, whether you realize it or not, and you were being in bondage, okay? But then we quit that and we surrender to the master, and when we do that, it's a good slavery because God's not going to abuse you. Everything he does is good for you. And we always use the term, Jesus is Lord, right? How many of you would say that Jesus is Lord? You know, I'm setting you up, right? Jesus is Lord, yes. But how many of you know there's a saying, and it's true, it says, unless Jesus Christ is Lord of all of your life, he's not Lord at all. How many of you know that? It's the truth, church. You know, you might have 90% of your life that you give to the Lord. 90% would be pretty good, right? But he says, unless you're willing to give it all, you're really not my, you know, he's really not the Lord of your life. You're holding back that 10% because that's my little deal. That's what I want to do, okay? I can't give that up. When you can get to a point where 100% of your life you give to the Lord, you are on your way to being a servant of Jesus Christ, because that's what it's about. It really is. We can sit in these pews, we can have a church attendance, a perfect record, but if we're not submitting, what are we doing? You know, well, we're playing church, really. That's what we're doing, and we don't want that, all right? Now, how many of you love Jesus Christ? I hope we can all say that we do love him. I am setting you up, I know that, but we do love him, right? Now, this is where the rubber meets the road, church. Jesus acknowledged that. He said, okay, if you love me, I want you to keep my commandments. Now, come on, church. We're talking about being a servant. And we say how much we love him, right? What does it mean to be a servant? He says, I want you to keep my commandments. In fact, in another place, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I tell you to do? Come on, church, that's what he's saying, is you got to back it up with action. If you want to be a servant, you want to be called a servant of the Most High, you must do these things. And I know you ever heard people say, a Gentile pastor or a minister will talk to Gentiles. Is there any Jewish people here today? Full Jews? All right, a teacher, pastor, preacher, whatever you want to say, is up here talking to a congregation of Gentiles. And he will say, well, church, you know, we're no longer under the law. Well, I have news for that preacher, teacher, pastor. Gentiles were never under the law. We have been grafted in. Yeah, there was proselytes at that time that would join and do it. But for the vast majority, that when Paul preached to all them people, they were never under the law, okay? But now that we're in Christ, we hear Jesus saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. That sounds like law. No, it's the loving law of Jesus Christ. And remember, he said, you know, when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? This is the first, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, there's none other commandment greater than these. In fact, in these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. So if somebody was able to really love the Lord that much and their neighbor as their self, guess what? They would actually fulfill the law. That's the law of Jesus Christ in the new covenant. So thank God that that's in there. And when you say, oh, I got to follow, you know, a lot of people's complaint of Christianity is, you guys follow all them rules. It's hard. It's boring. You have no fun. You got to follow these commandments. But listen what Jesus said about that. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Now think of the yoke that the oxen puts on, and they do that heavy pull. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Listen, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Listen, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you yoke up with Jesus Christ and you're following his commands, it's not a hard pull, especially if you surrender completely to the Lord. Here's when it becomes hard. When you fight it, when you don't want to do it, when you're complaining about it, when you let your flesh get in the way, yeah, it's a hard pull because you don't want to do it. But when you yoke up with him and you understand it's for my good, it's commands of the Lord that's only going to do me good and the community good, and I'm going to please God, it's an easy pull. How many of you have learned that in your life? It's not hard. It's joyful to serve God and to follow his commands. It really is, okay? And it's not a demeaning thing to serve God, you know. It's a privilege. It's an honor. So when I hear, you know, when I go around people now and I tell them that I'm a servant of God, I try to let them know, you know, that's not bragging or anything. It's just telling you I'm trying to be a true servant of God Almighty. But you need to pray for me because I am not perfect. You know, if my wife was here, she'd back that up. She'd tell you, yeah, I can tell you some things, you know, where he's got to go to the altar quite often, especially with me, okay, because we're just human. You all know Peter, right? He got prayed over three times, you know, three ways to be restored because he denied the Lord three times. It can happen, okay? So if we, Jesus Christ followed God's will completely. God had a plan. He left all the glories of heaven. Again, he's our example. He completely submitted himself to take on this human flesh. You know, he was tired. he would get exhausted. He had to eat. He left all of that perfection in heaven to come down. And yet it's to show us that he was a servant. Everywhere he went, he served people. Every time he healed everybody, he served them. Every time they would come, he would serve them by speaking the words of life to them. He would speak about eternity with people and all these things. That's serving people. It was all about people, and that's what we have to be. All right, so now where am I going with all this? How many of you know there's givers and takers in this world? Let me give you an earthly example. There was a fellow that we worked with. A bunch of us, you know, would have these little times where we would get together and somebody would buy the coffee. Maybe one time, another guy would buy donuts another time, and, you know, different people just stepped up and did it. This person, who I won't tell you who he is, you wouldn't know him anyway, but he never bought, for over years, never one time did he buy coffee for the group. Never one time donuts, anything, nothing, not a candy bar, not even a piece of gum, nothing. That person is a taker. That's just a fact. He was a taker. Now, I know that's an earthly example. All right, but in the spirit, how many of you would say you've been blessed by God? Can we have anybody? I'll say it. How many would say the blessings of God have overtaken you? Because that's what the Bible says will happen to people. It's just coming on you like crazy, man. You're just like, man, this is wonderful. God blessed me with this and that, you know. Well, that means you've been receiving a whole lot from God, but now it's time to give back. And there's a verse on it. Here it is. Psalms 116:12 says this. What shall I render, therefore, unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Now, all that means is this. God, you've been so good to me. You saved me. You blessed me. You've, you know, provided for me. I heard somebody say, I like where I live. So many of you have beautiful homes out here in the country. All right? The scripture says, what can I give back to God now that he's blessed me with all that stuff? Right? And that's what it means to be a servant of God. You're giving back. You're not just being a taker, all right? So I'm going to give you some practical things. Let's just bring it home to where we live of how we can actually be better servants of God. Number one, if you want to be a true servant of God, this is where we talk about church attendance. Attend church. Attend this local assembly who has a local shepherd. You know, he's not the shepherd of the entire worldwide church, but he's the shepherd here. Now, how many of you know Jesus, the Bible says this, and by the way, this is not a suggestion, church, this is actually a command. It says, forsake not the assembling together of yourselves as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, we know that verse, right? And yet, there are people who I talk to all the time that say, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. You don't have to go to church to be saved. And I would agree with that. There could be somebody that could get saved and doesn't regularly attend church. But what I want to show you is, remember, a servant obeys their master. And how many of you know that even though that's in Hebrews, by the way, and they believe Paul wrote it, but others are not sure, but it wasn't Jesus Christ that wrote it. So we could say, well, wait a minute, that's not a command of Jesus. But how many of you also know Scripture says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So Hebrews was written by God through a man. And it's from God. And God is telling everybody, don't forsake going to church. Now, there are a lot of people who do it. And I'll tell you what, I go back and when I deal with these people, here's what I tell them. I said, did you know that Jesus Christ started the church? Let me show you how. Remember, there was a day when Jesus asked his disciples, I believe he was at the base of Mount Hermon, and he said, who do men say that I am? And old Peter jumped up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I could see Jesus smiling from ear to ear. He says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he went on to say, thou art Peter, now listen, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now we need to stop here because some people think Peter's the rock. Jesus was using a play on words here. What he was saying was Peter in the Greek means Petros, which is a small pebble, all right? And we know rock is Petra, massive rock, which is Jesus Christ. So in effect, he was saying, Peter, upon your rock-solid confession of me, I can work with that and I will build my church. And my friends, It's His church. Did you hear that? So here's my question to anybody that don't want to come to this assembly. If Jesus said, don't forsake coming here, right, and it's His church, why would I not want to be here? That's all I'll say about it. In fact, did you know that Jesus went to church? It was actually synagogue, because he was still under the old covenant. Jesus went to synagogue, the Bible says, as His custom was. So folks, I don't know about you, as a servant, we're talking about being a servant, I want to obey the command to be here when I can. Now, I don't want to ever see anybody with a little notebook and says, so-and-so wasn't here, you know, they're missing. Yeah, they're on vacation, they're taking a break, okay, give them a break. We know what we're talking about. We all miss church once in a while. Things happen. But there are people who willfully will not come, and they just basically say, I'm saved, I'm good to go, I don't need to do all that. They're missing it, and they're missing the commands here. And folks, that is not what servants do. I'm just going to tell you. All right, here's another one. We need, as servants, to also follow the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did you know that applies to everybody here, not just those disciples back then? All of us have been commissioned to go out into our world, our known world, and preach the gospel to every single creature. So for you, that's your world, that's your workplace, that's your family, that's your friends and neighbors, and all these different things. That's your world, and you and I need to go there. Now, I want to show you how serious this is. Because some people say, yeah, okay, I know that's there, but I'm not a big witnesser. I don't really feel comfortable talking to people and all that. I want to show you how serious this is, church. In Ezekiel, and I'm going to paraphrase some of this, it says, this is God. He says, when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and you fail to warn the wicked of his wicked ways, right? And they die in their iniquity or their sins. Their blood will I require at your hands. He was supposed to be a watchman and warn them. And he's equating it spiritually, church. If we fail to do that, there's consequences. And then he also says, all right, but if you do warn them and they still reject it, it's not on you, it's on them. So here's what we want to say about this, church. We could have a theological debate about what exactly does it mean that the blood will be on your hands. I want to tell you, I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want nothing to do with it. Even if I may not fully understand, I don't want nothing to do with it. I want to be like the great apostle Paul, who said this in the book of Acts. He said, I am pure from the blood of all men, because I have not failed to give the full counsel of God unto all the hearers. And that's what Paul could say. He could sleep every night knowing that everybody he came in contact with heard the gospel. He didn't hold back from anybody. And I would say that to you, church, if you want to be a servant, tell everybody. When you're led by the Spirit, do that as well. Because when I first got saved, I might have told you this, I'd come in with people and I'd be whacking them over the head with the Bible and say, you got to hear this, you know, and without no leading of the Holy Spirit, no love and compassion, just come in charging like a bull and give them the gospel. That's not it either. But as you're led by the Spirit of God, deliver what people need to hear. And you will be considered a servant, because a servant is obeying the Great Commission. You guys getting this today? Isn't it true? You can't deny it. I can't deny it. It's in the Word. But what happens is we get around people. We get too politically correct. We say, I don't want to offend this group. Okay, they're having a wonderful time here. Why would I want to step up and ruin this party by bringing Jesus in hell and all these things, right? That's what we do. We get caught up in these things. But I like what the disciples said. Shall we obey man or shall we obey God? And when you get it in your spirit, in the Holy Spirit's leading, you will do the right thing. And you will be considered a servant of the Most High. So thank God for that. Another thing, practical thing, is to start loving like God loves. Love. Amen? God is love, right? Is God in you? Is the Spirit of God in you? If so, you have love within you. And guess what? It's not earthly love. It's godly love. And so that's why Jesus, here's another command. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, listen, as I have loved you. Now, actually, if you study that, you know, loving your neighbor as yourself is actually in the book of Leviticus. You may not know that. You may know it. And so some people would say, well, how is that a new command? That's in the Old Testament. It's a new command because he says, I want you to love as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Right there it is. That's how he loves us, that much. right? No greater love hath this than a man will lay down his life for his friends. Do you have that kind of love? Is that a love that you would stand up for anybody in this room and give your life for them if you had to? It's sort of like these Secret Service guys that jumped in front of Trump last night. They've been talking about it. They were willing to give their life up for this man because that's how strong, you know, of a commitment they have to that position. We should feel the same way about one another, you know, that we'd be willing to die and help one another if we had to do it. That's what it means to be a servant. And by the way, love is a verb. Love is action, okay? It's not lips. You know, honey, I love you. Honey, I love you so much. But you never buy her a steak dinner. You never take her out to eat. You never do this. You never do that. But I love you, honey. God's the same way. He wants to see us back up the verbal, all right, with action, with real action, that we can go out and say, I am going to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. I'm going to let my light so shine before men. And when we do that, God smiles upon his children. I believe that with all my heart, church. I really do. And by the way, did you know the Bible says we're supposed to even love our enemies? Oh, man, that's hard to do. I've got some long enemies in my life that I don't hate them, but, you know I'm supposed to love them. You know what that means? I'm supposed to do more than just say, I love you. I love you. I got to do some action. And it's so hard for me to go to these people sometimes in the flesh until the Spirit of God comes upon me, and then I just release them, give them over to God, tell them I love them. And I'm not going to join in their sin and all that, but I tell them I love them and all these different things. The other thing is forgiveness, church. If you want to be a servant, you have to forgive, all right? And each one of us probably can list somebody in our lives that it's sure is hard to forgive them. In fact, you've all heard this too. There's people at some of these family reunions that don't even speak after 20 years because they don't forgive. There's something that happened 20 years ago and so much pride involved, nobody will forgive, nobody will take the first step, and they just don't talk and they're cold to each other and all of that. We got to forgive if we want to be servants, all right? Remember Peter said, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how many times should I forgive him? You know, seven, right? Thought he might be doing good to say that. And Jesus, of course, said, no, seven times 70. In other words, unlimited. You will forgive until the rapture takes place, church. You'll be forgiving people all the time. Even more than one time you might have to forgive them. But remember how I said the Great Commission was serious? Listen to this. This is how serious this forgiveness business is. And by the way, you know, people say the Bible's hard to understand, you know. And by the way, there is some definitely some chapters and some sayings that are hard at first sight to explain and to really figure out. But this, which I'm going to tell you, is not complicated. Here's what it says in Matthew 6:15. If you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I can understand that. That's not complicated, church. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. How important is forgiveness? That important. So I would encourage you, if you got one of them cold relationships, if there's something that is just not right and it's not been restored and you haven't forgiven anybody or they haven't stepped forward or whatever the case is, make it right. Servants will do that. And it's the right thing to do, church. It really is. Because, you know, if we just sit back and let things go, we're not being a true servant of God. In fact, did you know the Bible says this? Confess your faults one to another, listen, that you may be healed. And how many of you know there's different kinds of healings? And some of the healings is in the natural. It's them hurt feelings. It's that animosity. That's got to be healed. So to start with, I would say take the high road. Go to your enemy, as they say, and you say, I love you and I am so sorry for anything I've done, or you might even specify it. And then you go to God Almighty and you repent as well. You do that first, actually, and you say, God, I blew it, I missed it. You go to that person and you do it. And you know what? If that person doesn't respond on that, you have done well. You walk away knowing that you've done your part. But as Christians, we've got to take the high road. If you want to be a servant, take the high road. So some other things which I won't get into, all of you that are married, okay, you all have roles, all right? The Bible's very clear. Men, husbands, and it lists stuff to do. Wives, it specifically has sections just for husbands and wives. You want to be a servant? You need to be a good spouse. You need to fulfill your end of the covenant you made with that human being, just like you fulfill in the covenant with Jesus Christ. That's what servants do. That's in obeying the Word of God, okay? How about this one? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If your study is what you get on Sunday school and Brother Dave and others who preach to you, that is not study. That is wonderful that you're hearing that, but a lot of times all that's doing is priming you to go research more on your own, right? And you need to do that because here's the it says, it's not a suggestion. Study, church, to show yourself approved. That, my friends, is what a servant will do. And I'll just wrap up here shortly. Identify God's call in your life. I know all of you have a call because every person has a call, but it's an individual call. So a servant will say, okay, Lord, what do you want me specifically to do? I know there's this thing called the Great Commission. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do some of the other things we talked about. But specifically, what do you have for my life? And when God gives it to you, hang on, because your life may be changing. A lot of preachers that have been up here, they give their testimonies. They tell you, I never in a million years thought I'd be a preacher. But you know why they are? Because God called them to be a preacher. He said, I will make you, you know, fishers of men, right, instead of fishermen. I will have your life changed because you're going to now enter into the ministry. Or whatever it is, just be obedient unto God. And by the way, servants, okay, I'm going to start calling you servants. Stay humble. A lot of people get a big head because God begins to give them wonderful things. A teacher might be given so much revelation, you know, that they get the big head. That's why Paul had a thorn in his flesh, which is a whole other topic, because of all the revelations. Think about it. All the people on the face of the earth, Paul got stuff that nobody else got. In fact, he couldn't even talk about some of it. That can give you a big head when you start thinking, well, you know, I appreciate what you're thinking and saying, but God, I got a direct line to God. You know, he could have got the big head, and he had to be humbled. So stay humble, my friends. Stay humble, and you will do well. And by the way, pride, there's good pride and bad pride, all right? Here's some bad pride. Somebody says, you know that church over there, if I ever left that place, it would go down quick. There are people that have actually thought they're so important to the church that if they were to leave, it would crumble without their presence. And we know better, right? What did the Lord say? I believe it was to Elijah. I've still got a bunch of prophets, okay? Don't worry about it. I got people that'll take up the rear. Okay? Now here's good pride. My daughter, my son, my grandchild comes home with a straight A report card. And I tell you, I am so proud of Susie. That's good pride, right? So when we say, you know, because the Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall, don't think it's all pride that way. It's the pride like with Satan, how he fell in all of these different things, okay? All right, I'll end with this, church. Let's be real about this. The Bible says of servants, it says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And somebody brought it up, I think, in the Sunday school lesson. We all need to do what Jesus said. Count the cost. You want to come into this thing, you better sit down and understand that your life will never be the same again. In fact, all those buddies you used to hang around with and do things with, they may not like you anymore. You may suffer persecution from them and other people, so count the cost. Understand that it can happen to you. And my friends, this is all good stuff because we are to come out from the world and be separate, saith the Lord. That's what I'm saying. You will never be the same again when you totally surrender to God. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Your life will never be the same, but it'll be the best because you're with God. You're doing what He wants, okay? All right, let me end with this. One day, help me out. We're all wanting to hear these words, right? Well, help me out. Well, we all want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Did you hear what was said in there? Only good and faithful servants are going to hear it. You get it? It's the truth, okay? Let's give the Lord a hand today. Bow your heads and pray with me, please. Father, we thank you for this word, this message that came from heaven. And Lord, help us to understand that it applies to each and every one of us. Help us to actually become servants, not by word, but by deed and by truth, and showing the love of God to a sick and dying world in very practical ways. I pray for everybody in the sound of my voice. Lord, if people need to pray and be convicted and repent, so be it. Lord, if others are right on mark, help them to encourage other people. But help us all to really understand that as a group, we are to serve the Lord. Just like the disciples, they loved one another, they worked together, and they turned the world upside down. And we thank you for this message tonight. Burn it into our spirits. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here, Lord, that doesn't know you, that they will come to know you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.